Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're here in another in our series in the message in the Gospel of John. We left off last time, chapter 4, verse 43, where we read, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee." That is, he left from Samaria and went to Galilee. "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, the servant met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house." This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now notice this portion of scripture, the focus from verse 43 down to verse 54, is the fact that they are in Galilee. Verse 46 says, so they came into Cana, particularly the spot where they were in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman there. Now, he's a Greek. He's not a nobleman in the Jewish economy. He's connected with Herod. And his son was sick, so he came from Capernaum to Galilee, to Cana, I should say, and that was about a four-hour trip for him to go down there. Now, we see also that Jesus said, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe, because he knew, verse 45, they received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem. It doesn't say they received him because they heard all the messages that he preached. No, it was completely a physical situation here, except you see signs and wonders. Now, I think that we get down to verse number 53, the father knew that it was the same hour. This is interesting. Notice in verse 52, it says yesterday. Yesterday, the servants met him, said, Your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And he said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour. Now, he really believed that Jesus would do that. Understand, it's only a four-hour trip back to Capernaum. He didn't even go home. It's the next day. It says yesterday. And now, and notice the little word now. As he was now going down. This is the next day after the miracle. He said, Thy son liveth. Interesting. So we get to chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem a sheep market, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Just to mention here, it says in these, more than one pool. Actually, the pool had a wall and was divided, and they've recently excavated that. Say more about that in a minute. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then at first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said unto him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, boy. Let's look at it. Now, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now, notice the word market is in italics. When you see that in the Bible, that is telling us the word isn't actually there. They put it in so to make sense. There is at Jerusalem by the sheep. No, by the sheep what? And so they put in market. Now, this site was discovered. It was excavated in 1888. And they found that it was right by the sheep gate. And so when we're talking about where this was, it was by the sheep gate. That's where that pool was. Sheep gate, you remember if you were in any of our studies, which we had some time back in Nehemiah, there was 10 gates there. The sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, Mifkad gate, and the sheep gate. Nehemiah did a trip around the wall to see what was going on with those gates because he was going to repair them. But the interesting point is it starts at the sheep gate and it ends at the sheep gate. The sheep gate represents Jesus Christ. All of these gates represent something, and if we're going to see revival, we got to rebuild all these gates. It's that simple. But we need to understand that Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Bethesda means house of mercy. In these five porches, it's interesting, the number five, there's a lot of numbers in the Bible. For instance, the number seven means the number of completion and so on. It's interesting that five represents God's grace, which is undeserved merit, which is what this man got here at the pool. Just a few things about the number five. We could look at a lot more. We have five fingers, five toes, five senses, five books of the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. There's five kinds of animals that were sacrificed under the Levitical law. There's five loaves in the miracle in Matthew chapter 14. There were five wounds inflicted upon Jesus while he was on the cross. There's five empires of man represented in King Nebuchadnezzar's statue in Daniel chapter 2. There's a lot of interesting fives. I think one reason God makes sure these little numbers gets put in here to get our attention and maybe get us off television and study the Bible for a while. I hope that's what this series will do as we go through it. It will challenge people to get in the Word of God and learn what it has to say. Now it says an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Something wrong with this picture here. That is not the character of God. Let's send an angel down here and then let's watch and see which one of these cripples makes it to the pool. That is not the character of God. What it's saying here is this is what people believed. And if you look in the scriptures, angels were never involved in any kind of healing. And once again, this has nothing to do with the character of God. This is what people believed. It's amazing what religious people can believe. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew it had been a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Interesting. He just gets straight to the fact. The impotent man said unto him, Sir, I have no man when the water struggled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Well, he was 38 years there. Interesting They wandered in the wilderness for 38 years, Deuteronomy 2:14. He says, I'm trying to get into the water, and another cometh and steppeth down before me, and I never make it to... What's he doing? He's focusing on unscriptural religious beliefs. An awful lot of people doing that in the world today. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Immediately the man was made whole. Now, you know, you see these healing lines where some of these people make a whole lot of money and then get in their jet and fly off to another area and make a whole lot more money. And you see these people and, oh, I've been healed, and they're on some kind of an emotional thing. You follow up those people and you'll find that a couple of weeks later, they're right back where they were. That's not what Jesus does when he heals somebody. And immediately, the man was made whole. No question about it. He took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, boy. So the Jews, and when you see that phrase in the book of John, again, we've mentioned it's referring to the leadership. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And they had a lot of rules made up that weren't in the Old Testament law. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And they asked him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. It was the feast time. There was much as a million people had come in from different areas. There was three feasts that the Jews were required to go to, and this was one of them. Then in verse 14 we read, After Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. He went back and turned him in. We need to understand, you know, that sometimes Calvinists use this portion of Scripture to say there was hundreds of people laying in the pools, and God picked one, and he didn't heal any of the others. We're not talking about getting saved here. We're talking about getting healed. Whether this man ever got saved or not, we don't know. Let's hope he did, like Nicodemus. Let's hope he did. There's nothing here about salvation. We're talking about healing a body. Very important to understand that. So, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he made a man who was crippled walk. You know, because he did it on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Oh, my goodness, my Father. Now, he didn't say our Father, but what he's doing here is making himself equal with God. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Those who teach the nonsense that Jesus never said that he was God, it's all through the Bible, including the Old Testament, practically on every page. Well, be sure to be with us for our next message as we continue in the book of John.